And I also achieved one of my biggest career milestones, which was taking an outsourcing company from zero to a $1 million company in a year without spending anything on ads. And honestly, that was just pure hustle and content marketing and me getting on hundreds and hundreds of sales calls.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Hey guys, this is Carla. And if you are listening on my podcast, None of Your Business, welcome. Happy Monday. And I'm super excited to share this talk with you. And I'm saying talk because this is actually a presentation and a talk that I gave on a big stage back in Mexico in Playa del Carmen at the Grand Hyatt Resort. I delivered a talk to this mastermind called DC Dynamite Circle in one of their big annual events. The title of this talk was What I Learned from Starting All Over Again Many Times in My Life. So a lot of you people may know my personal story of how I grew up poor in the Philippines and how that is a very different experience from growing up poor in a more developed country. And I've openly shared my struggles in starting my business, my friends and my previous colleagues, my classmates not believing in me, some of my relatives not supporting my business. I've also been open about the failures that I've experienced and all of the hard work that I had to put in order to get where I am and to continuously work towards where I want to be and who I want to be as a person as well. And in this long journey of entrepreneurship, I think I'm at year 15 right now, I have failed a couple of times. I have started all over again many times in my life. And I wanted to encapsulate all of my learnings and really share it with you, all of my realizations and all of the positive thoughts and motivational thoughts that helped me keep moving forward. So let me tell you my story. If you still don't know yet, I'm Carla Singson, and I grew up and I thought I was a golden child. I actually learned how to read at a very early age of 2, and my mom sent me to school because she didn't want me to keep watching TV at home. So that was great. I entered first grade at 5 years old. I entered high school at 11. I entered college at 15, and I finished a 4-year bachelor's degree major in marketing at 19. And this was a top business university in the Philippines. And not just that, I also became an honorary teacher or professor, and I also taught in that school. So I taught marketing as well. So when I was younger, I had a lot of medals and awards under my belt. I won literally there was one year that I won the spelling bee, the science bee, and I think the math contest at the same year. It was not the exact rank. So I won first place in one, second place and third place in one. It was such a good time. And I've also played sports. I played table tennis. And my parents really trained me to think that I was a golden child, that I'm a winner. And because I was the eldest child, it was a great experience for my sisters as well, because they get to see how rewarding excellence was. And so I really credit it to my parents, because me and my sisters now ended up really well in life. Both of my sisters have really good jobs, businesses. They are both mothers now, and they live very thriving, lots of love and care, lots of growth in their life. And so I'm very, very proud of what our parents have done to really set us up properly. My parents are my best privilege. I always say that. And so I had this experience growing up, and I started my first business out of spite, just kidding, out of my desire for freedom. I actually didn't last a lot of time, a lot of months in my first ever and one and only job, which was I was the front desk person or the receptionist at a Montessori school. I only lasted, I think, 2 months or 3 months in that job. I really didn't like having a 9-to-5. In fact, in that job, I was playing online poker all day, because it was also a very high-end school and we didn't have a lot of traffic. So I actually didn't have a lot to do in my desk. So I just like played Facebook poker and improved my poker skills. And so I decided, why don't I just start my first business? I took seriously my flower shop business. And on the side, I was also emceeing weddings and events, until that turned into a whole other business as well. So for the very long time, I had two brick and mortar businesses. I still have these businesses. These are my cash cows. I have my flower shop, which I've grown into a dealership and a franchise, and we now have multiple locations all over the country. And I also have my events and PR company, where we serve big corporations and helping them out with their marketing campaigns, PR and PR campaigns. So both businesses are pretty successful. We have definitely lasted a very long time, over a decade. We have survived the pandemic, and we have served a lot of really big brands, brands that you know, brands like Coca-Cola, Sony, Sharp, Qatar Airways, and even the United Nations, Starbucks. So those are our clients. And I really enjoyed my time there in the events company. I still have it, and I still consult, and I still do strategy for events and marketing strategy, but it is not my focus anymore. My main focus is growing my outsourcing company. Aside from that, I also shared with you, I taught marketing at a great university. I had a great writing and speaking career. I did the influencer thing as well. And basically, I just kept going. So as I'm sharing this, it might feel like I'm just bragging about my life or how smart I was, or how great my experience was. But that's not really it. I was just always asking myself, what's next? Or how can I play in a bigger pond, basically? And I think that that was a good mindset to have as well, because that mindset helped me really get over my failures pretty fast. And so let's talk about that. Here's a list of some of my failed businesses. So actually, I have a very long list, but I'm going to share just a few. So I started a perfume business in the past. It was very difficult to sell with no strong brand. I started a fish farm with my partner. We had one storm and all of the fish were gone. I also started a frozen tuna business. Our supplier scammed us after a while. We sent the money. They didn't send the stocks. And so we had to just stop that business. We don't want to look for another supplier. I also funded my ex's photography business, but then he just wanted to gamble all day. Wasn't really that motivated. I had to like do the lead generation, and I had to like help with marketing, and it was almost like just a hobby for that person. So that wasn't successful, because I was also trying to build my own business in the process. I also started a steak supplier, or I wanted to become a steak supplier, but then my business partner just didn't want to do it. Then I also started a modeling or a talent agency in the past. In fact, one of my sisters was one of my agents. My sister, Lendl, she used to be a print model for spas, salons. She had like really great long hair in the past, and she used to do that. And I helped her get some gigs. And I got like a percentage of what she made and the other models as well. But I realized it was too much work for too little money, and I was pitching all the time. And then I also tried to get into buying and selling cars because I thought that I could always work to always meet people. And I thought that, you know, because I'm a girl, and if it's a girl selling to a guy, maybe it's easier. But then I realized I don't really know a lot about cars, and I also dislike having to learn about it. So there's only one car that I like, is the Ford Mustang. It's been my dream car for a very long time. I did achieve having that car when I was living in Vegas for a little bit, but that's it. Yeah, I had a lot of failed businesses, as you can see, and I had a lot of things that I really pursued. I gave a lot of my time, and then it just didn't happen, right? So I had to close those businesses. I had to just accept my losses and keep going. And aside from business failures, I also had some personal failures. So if you're watching the YouTube video, you're going to see kind of the map of how many years it took between each big failure in my life. And so in 2010, I closed my first office. I was too ambitious, and it wasn't the right time. We weren't able to pay rent, and then we just had to close. I also got my first threat of a lawsuit. There was $20,000 that was unpaid from a project. I got scammed, and my name was in between. So I became like the middleman between a supplier and a client. Apparently the client didn't pay me, and so I couldn't pay the supplier, but I was kind of in between the deal. And so I was really scared at that. And I was 20 years old at this time. And even though nothing really happened, I was very concerned with all the relationships that I would have to sacrifice because that happened. And so after that, in 2012, 2 years after the lawsuit threat, my dad passed away. So this is one of the most depressed moments of my life. It also left us with $60,000 in debt. My sister was still in school. My other sister had just finished school, and my mom was really depressed. So my mom and my dad had a very good relationship, very healthy, very loving, just the perfect relationship ever. It was such a gift. And my mom was really distraught and depressed, and I understand. And especially now that I have a spouse, I cannot imagine like losing my spouse. And so I had to step up and be the breadwinner. And $60,000, this is about like 3 million pesos in the Philippines. I didn't have this money. I was just like a 22-year-old, 23-year-old kid who's still trying to just freelance and trying to find my way around. You know, I was trying to build a career, and I really didn't have a lot to show for my work or my net worth. It was non-existent, basically. So I was still hustling, but I kept hustling, and I became the breadwinner of my family. And then I worked really, really hard so that I can get us out of that debt. And I also supported my mom and my sisters. I worked a lot. You know, I always tell people that my 20s was kind of a blur because I just worked a lot. I worked a lot. No regrets. That was a time when I should work a lot because I had so much energy. So that was 2012. In 2018, unfortunately, my mom passed away. This is the most depressed moment of my life. And in fact, I would say this is probably the only time that I was truthfully depressed because I just felt like I had nothing to live for. My mom was my biggest inspiration, and everything that I did was mostly for my mom. Even the stuff that I did for my sisters, it was mostly for my mom, to make my mom happy. And I don't know if some people will consider that unhealthy, but I definitely idolized my mom because she was such a great person. She was generous. She was kind, loving. She was funny. She's smart. She's talented. She's a great salesperson. She was pretty. She was always took care of herself. And I just wanted to make her happy and gain her favor. And because my dad already passed away and I saw how much that hurt my family, now I have to really be the person that my sisters would lean on. And not just that, I had to get over the death of my mom. And the more painful part of this death was not expected at all. In fact, my mom was just in the hospital for 5 days. She started to feel weak. She started to lose a lot of weight. And the hospital had very conflicting diagnosis, and we just kept getting tests. And I got her in the hospital. I think I was actually the one who checked her in the hospital, but I had to go to this event. And then so I was like, "Mom, let me just check you in the hospital so that there's someone who can be looking after you like 24/7. Basically, I was thinking nurses will do a better job than me. And at this time, my sister, who's a nurse, was also in the States already. So I couldn't take care of my mom the same way that professionals could. So that was the only reason. I didn't think anything of it. And then I went to my event. And then my sister was just kept calling me that my mom was like starting to get weaker and weaker until like on the third day they moved her to the ICU. So I absolutely panicked and I got a flight home immediately. And I only reached the last few hours of my mom's life. And so I'm grateful for that, but it was such a depressing moment. And honestly, I didn't know how to pick myself up after that. And sorry. So that was 2018. And then in 2020, 2 years after that, you know, obviously I kept going. I had now like two sisters who were depending on me, not just financially. Not fully. Okay. I'm not saying that they didn't have a job or anything, but of course they had to lean on me, you know, as the role model, as like the leader in the family. And of course, I also provided for my sisters with whatever they need. You know, I love my sisters to that death. They're my world. And so I wanted to give everything to them. In fact, my sister Lendl was the first person to go to America, and she even got there before me. And so I helped her out with that. And I was also helping out my other sister in the Philippines, and I was helping her get settled, try out a few businesses, really encourage her to find what it was that she would like, and for her to be able to maximize her income without having to work so much. And then I had my flower shop, I had my events company, they were doing really well. And then boom, 2020, the pandemic hit. So my cash cows were gone in an instant. And I couldn't do my events company, I couldn't do the flower shop, because of course, these were non-essential businesses. And not just that, I also had a breakup with my long-term partner, the partner that I thought I was going to marry, the partner who helped me find a new level of confidence in myself. I traveled with this partner to many, many countries. And in fact, he met my mom, and he really loved my family too. But we broke up and I was really sad about that. And then I didn't know what to do. My cash cows were gone. So it was such a difficult time in my life. But of course, as I always did, I just kept going. Thankfully, I found an opportunity to get investment for my outsourcing company. And I was able to also move to Mexico in 2021. But then in 2022, this was, I would say, the most late or the latest big trial in my life. In 2022, I had to leave a partnership behind in the outsourcing company, the one with the investor. And there were just a lot of things that we didn't agree on, or we didn't basically see eye to eye on. And he also brought in a consultant that I just couldn't stomach working with. And for me, integrity and values are very, very important. Like, first of all, I should have seen the red flags, but I definitely learned a lot in that experience. And also, I'm very grateful for the chance that he has given me and for all of the learnings that I was able to get in that 2 years of experience And I also achieved one of my biggest career milestones, which was taking an outsourcing company from zero to $1 million company in a year without spending anything on ads. And honestly, that was just pure hustle and content marketing and me getting on hundreds and hundreds of sales calls. I'm very, very proud of the work that I did. There's no one in that company that will say that I didn't do my job. They always knew how much work I had to put in to really make that company successful. And everything that I learned in that experience, even though it ended up in a kind of a hurtful or like a heartbreaking experience, I was able to apply all of those learnings to my outsourcing company, really build something more intentional, something that has the leadership that I wanted in mind. And so obviously, as you can see, I had so many failures in my life. In fact, there's so much more. I just can't enumerate all of it. But in this experience over the 15 years of business, trying to navigate also my personal life, my health, I think some of you guys know I have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. You guys can look this up. And I had to manage a lot of things in my life and I had to just keep going. And that is, I think, the biggest lesson here. You just have to keep going because every failure is just a step towards success. And if you're still going, then you're still in the game and it's still going. You're not stopping. You're only failing if you're actually stopping. And so even though I call these moments failures, they mean nothing. They're just like a dot in my timeline. And then I will just keep going. I'm going to create better failures out of it, or I will also be on my way to success. And so I learned some really amazing things in this experience, and I'm going to share the best lessons with you. Number one, your name and your brand is one of your best assets. And so I've been in business for a very long time, and I will not say that my business had always been perfect or my work had always been perfect. I'm not going to say that I never had unhappy clients. I will not say that. But one thing that I can guarantee is that I've always learned to correct my wrongs, and I also made sure that I improved myself along the way. I'm very, very proud that my name and my brand has a great name and a great brand of just making things work. And that is what I'm known for. I grew up poor in a poor country and I've always made life work. And even though no matter how much failure I had in the past, how many, you know, bouts of depression I went through, how many trials I went through, I always took good care of my name. I always try to do right by everyone and I always try to give more than I can take. And so when I was restarting my outsourcing company, you can see here, if you're watching this on YouTube, a screenshot of the fundraising that I did when I was restarting my outsourcing company. I'm going to read it to you. So I posted one post on Facebook. This was dated December 6, 2022. I'm doing one round of fundraising to build a business. This is not new. This is one that I've owned and operated since 2017, has six figures in revenue. I'm going to be putting my focus on it and implement the systems, leadership, and sales flow that I want. This is a venture loan. No equity will be sold. 10K minimum, and I only need six now. Four are already funded by friends and family. This is a great payout, great perks, and most of all, I got a great track record. Throughout the years, a pandemic, family tragedies, heartaches, moving to different countries, and other side challenges, I've always been known to make things work. My reputation and results are my most valuable assets, and it would be my honor to grow this vision with you. Send me a DM if you're interested. So basically, I wanted to borrow money. I wanted to give you interest for that money. And if you're interested, if you believe in me, let's talk. So basically, that's it. I didn't have to publish a white paper or whatever. I didn't have to have a big pitch deck. No, I was just basically saying, if you know me, if you trust me, I want to borrow money. And of course, this came with paperwork. I had to obviously provide the legal paperwork for it. And that was a success. I was able to get all the money that I needed. And not just that, my husband also supported me to take care of my personal needs, even like my little things like my shampoo, my manicure. He definitely made me feel Like, I didn't have to sacrifice my lifestyle. He bought all the groceries. I was honestly a little embarrassed when that happened. And then he also shared with me a little later how he was actually nervous by it because we were just boyfriend and girlfriend for a few months. We weren't engaged yet. But he said he was very nervous about it. But he also felt very at ease and at peace, even though on the onset, it seemed like, to be honest, it seemed like almost a red flag, right? But he trusted his gut and he trusted in me. He trusted that I was this person that will always make things work. So on our first year of reoperation of my outsourcing company, here's our profit and loss snapshot. We made $443,000 in total revenue. It was a great year. And I'm very proud to say we've more than doubled this number. And I'm very, very happy that we are growing really fast. And I, even though I was just doing this all by myself now without a partner, without an investor, I mean, I did have investors when it was starting, but it was alone. I didn't have to sell equity. I'm very, very proud of what I've built and the leadership that I was able to get in my business. I'm also very lucky and very privileged to have these people around me. And so the lesson here, your name or your brand is one of your best assets. So take good care of that. One of the other reasons why I was able to rebuild this company really fast is, once again, because I have a good name. I have good reputation in business. And a lot of my friends know this. A lot of my friends came to help me and support me when they learned that I was starting out on my own. I received so many random calls from people literally saying, hey, I'm rooting for you. Anything I can do to help. And it was so overwhelming in a very good way. And it also surprised me in a very good way. So you guys know who you are. So thank you so much. Number two, build confidence in yourself. And one of the things that will really help this is, number one, you have to do right by yourself in such a way that you have to do the things that you say you will. So how do you develop trust in a person? You develop trust if they do whatever they say, if they fulfill their promises, if they show up for you. You need to do this for yourself. If you say, I'm going to work out every day, I'm going to get to this weight, I'm going to eat more protein and not junk food, then you have to do it. The more you do it, the more confidence you build in yourself, and the more prouder you are with yourself, and the more that you will continue to do this, and there's a compounded interest in these habits. And all of that is just kind of like a flywheel of positive emotion, rewarding emotion to yourself. So that's number one. Number two, on how to build confidence in yourself, is you have to always do difficult things. And then you also always have to think, for every trial that you have, I've done harder things. So I always take advantage of an opportunity to learn something new, lift something heavy, or having a difficult conversation with my husband. So even though these things are annoying, they're difficult, it's, you know, you feel like you're pushing yourself to a limit, it always helps because these things help you build confidence in yourself. And so even if you fail, if you have confidence in yourself that you're going to get up and that you have done harder things. I loved saying this when I would think about my parents passing away. Every time I encounter a trial in business, I would say, I've done harder things. I've lost parents. I've lost my very loving, very perfect parents. What is harder than that, right? That's the hardest thing that someone will ever endure. And therefore, every challenge that I will face will be easier than that. So I also built a lot of confidence in myself by just looking at my past and looking at evidence where, number one, I have continuously showed up for myself, and number two, where I've done harder things. Number three, don't be shy to ask for favors, but also don't forget to give too. So my recommended ratio is actually 1:5. A lot of my friends in business know that I'm such a giver. I give referrals. I give endorsements. I tag people. I, even if it's like something random, I would give them gifts. I would surprise people with like a particular gift or a particular, even if it's just like a drink or something thoughtful. I love doing those things. And so I think that because I'm a giving person, and even though I didn't have a lot to give, I actually would just randomly go on my friends' businesses or business accounts, and I would just write a 5-star review just to help them out. And so that's one of the things that I love doing, because for me, energetically, I feel like I'm putting out good karma into the world. And so I am also preparing myself to receive karma from that. But when you are at a point of failure, you have to remember, do not be shy to ask for favors. If you have given enough, and if you have confidence that you have given enough, and you have given wholeheartedly, not because you just wanted to cash out a favor at the end, I think that people will see through your genuine intention. And so do not be shy to ask for favors. You're going to be surprised how many people actually support you and will actually come through for you. So when I was very down and I was restarting my outsourcing business, I literally had no money. My husband was paying for everything, even my like $1 hair tie. I asked for favors from my friends. I still have my copywriting skill. And so I went to my friends and asked them, hey, who needs something done in copy? Let me work on a revenue share agreement with you. And so I got a really good copywriting deal. At that time, we were doing revenue share, and I was actually very nervous when I did that. But then after the whole campaign was done, I received $5,000, and it was pretty awesome for 2 weeks of work, of course. And even though I wasn't charging that money for copywriting anymore, because I didn't really take copywriting projects anymore, it was also kind of a proud moment for me that I was able to get amazing results for something. And so I love sharing that story, because I came to ask for favor, and then my friend helped me out, and I was also able to help her out, and then I got rewarded for it as well. And so that was amazing. I was also not shy to ask for my friends from my friends for a referral, an introduction. I was really posting on Facebook a lot and on Instagram, basically telling them about our affiliate program, which is pretty amazing, by the way. So if you want to get in our affiliate program, message me on Facebook or Instagram. Just send one email and make $1,000. We will do everything else. So if we close the deal, if you make a good intro, as long as they really need help with outsourcing a managerial role in their business or something specialized like a video editor, reels editor, content writer, something that is above a virtual assistant role, let me know, introduce them to me. I'll even commit to you that I will personally show up in the sales call and not my sales team, and you will get $1,000 if we close them. And so, don't be shy to ask for favors. I talked about our affiliate program openly in my Facebook, on my Instagram, and we got a lot of referrals. And in fact, our affiliate program is one of the best things that I've built, because this is actually kind of what I started at that other outsourcing company that I built to $1 million in revenue. But my husband also helped me improve what I have, and he's also coaching me and my team. And he really, really built an amazing affiliate program that now we just get leads every day. I'm not kidding. Every day. If you follow me on Instagram, you're going to see, because I post it on my stories, and I'm really, really proud of the work that we do. And of course, of the name that we have and how much we take good care of that name by providing good work. And so don't be shy to ask for favors. Number 4 lesson is manage the worst case scenario. And so in that moment or in that point of failure, I always ask myself, what was the worst case scenario? What would be something that I can try to expect, but also kind of think about so that I could just make myself feel better? And so here were some of the thoughts that I had in my head. I thought, you know what, maybe I'll just take a job. Surely I'll do well in an interview. I also thought, you know what, maybe I'll just sell lumpia or spring rolls here in Mexico. self-frozen food. I bet a lot of people will buy it because Filipino food will sell very well here. So this was a funny moment because my husband almost like felt bad for me that I was already thinking that because I was so desperate to make money at that time. And then I even thought, oh, what? You know what? Let me reopen my Upwork account. And I dabbled on Upwork for a little bit, but I got lazy, or I wouldn't say lazy. Okay, I'm not lazy. I got tired trying to send proposals. And then my rate is very different now, and competing with like freelancers, it's just not my vibe. And then I even thought, oh, you know what? Maybe I can play some poker and then I can hustle a few cash games here and there. I had a lot of belief in my poker ability. Truthfully, unfortunately, I would not say I'm a good cash game player, but I would say I'm a pretty good tournament player. I always get to the final table, which will guarantee like a little bit of a cash reward, and until, you know, we get to the heads up into the championship, which I've done, I think, less than five times in my life. I've won less than five poker tournaments, but I believe in my skill as a poker player. And even though I haven't played in a while, I still believe that maybe, you know what, I could do it. So here were some of the thoughts that were basically swimming in my head. But what this helped me with is that it helped me, number one, it helped me think of really creative ways to get over what I was dealing with, right? So it gave me some options. It gave me some perspective. It gave me different ways to kind of go through, or kind of break through this failure that I'm experiencing. Like I always say, a failure is an event in your life. It's not an identity. You are not a failure. You have failures. It's just like having a fingernail. You're not a fingernail. You have a fingernail, right? And so that's it. That's just think of your failures like your fingernails. So if you get yourself prepared for the worst case scenario, first of all, you realize it's not actually that bad. And second of all, it also, the mental exercise that you get also helps you manage what options you have and manage what is the best way to move forward. I didn't do any of those things. I just kept going and sold outsourcing services. And lastly, my favorite lesson, surround yourself with the right people. And so in that time where I was restarting my outsourcing company, when my I entered a mastermind that really, really changed my life. And in that time when I was getting over my mom's death, there was a person that really helped me get over it. When I was moving to different countries, there were people that really helped that become less challenging for me, being a new person in a new country. And I've moved quite a bit. And so when you surround yourself with the right people, it makes the struggle easier. You know, it doesn't mean that these people have to have more money than you or be smarter than you, but just having people around you will always help in any way they can. Like having my sisters around me, like especially my sister Angela, who always supported my business, always took care of my stuff, my investments in the Philippines. She would always just basically do favors for me and work the extra hour to make sure that my business is in order, my paperwork, my taxes are in order. So I definitely see how much she tries to contribute in her way, because I've also helped her. But my sister is very trustworthy. She's never viewed my support as like mere privilege. She really valued how much I've helped her. And of course, I think that obviously... Not I think, she might be listening to this. Obviously the love is there, right? So I'm very grateful. Even my aunt, you know, she tries to help. She's a senior citizen, so she's old. So she tries to help. And then my friends, they're just amazing. They support me, they refer people to me, and they are there when I'm sad, when I'm feeling fat. And then, and I have lots of friends. To be honest, I'm a very extroverted person. If you met me, and one thing, I'm very good with names. Even if I met you at a conference 5 years ago, I will remember your name, your wife's name, your job, the car that you drive. So I'm very proud of that. And that's actually a limiting belief that I've gotten over. And I've trained myself to remember things better. One of the things that really annoyed me in the past is I dated someone who we would go to the mall or whatever, and then we would meet someone, and then he would not introduce me. And I would just be like standing there, they would be talking, and I'll be like, well, what the fuck? And then he was like, well, I don't remember his name, or I don't remember her name, and that's why I didn't introduce you. But I'm like, well, that's so lame, you know? I understand that it's embarrassing to ask someone's name, but also for me, it's embarrassing also to not remember someone's name and like knowing that you just can't do anything about it. And so I told myself, I will not be that person who doesn't remember people's names. I mean, I get it. If it's like a big gathering and you have to remember, like, you can't remember 30 names, but you can remember the names of certain people, especially if you had a long conversation with them. And if you're not that close, if you actually forgot their name, it's even okay to ask a question like, hey, I'm sorry, I totally forgot. Was it Dan or something like that, right? Hopefully you get at least the first letter right. I mean, I've been called Kate or Kathy or other names that start with letter K in the past. And it was fine. It was fine. I wasn't offended. But okay, so I'm I digress. Surround yourself with the right people. So one of the things that I really want to share, really, really important about this point, is that you also have to be quick to cut out people in your life. There's only two ways that you are going with a person. They're either dragging you behind or they're moving forward with you. And there may be an argument that some people are kind of in the neutral arena, but depending on their intentions, let me tell you, some of them, when given the chance, will either be dragging you behind or moving you forward. So for me personally, the neutral people, I consider them as people who just drag me behind. So I don't care, right? But the people who help me move forward with my life, the right people, the people who provide me with positive emotion, positive influence, and support in my health, my business, in my relationships, these are the people that will help you in your points of failure. Lean on to them and be open with them. Be transparent and honest and ask for help. You will be surprised how many people love you and would love to see you succeed if you just let them. So those are my five lessons. Let's go back quickly. Number one, your name or your brand is one of your best assets. Number two, build confidence in yourself. Tell yourself that I'm going to show up for myself, and also I've done harder things. Number three, don't be shy to ask for favors, but also don't forget to give as well. Number four, manage the worst case scenario. And number five, surround yourself with the right people. So after everything, after all of this, you might be prompted to look at your life, look at your past. So I want to tell you, congratulations for getting this far. I hope that you're proud of yourself. Never forget to give yourself a pat on the back to see how far you've come. So if you love this episode, if you have some thoughts that you want to share, it means the world to me that you give this podcast a positive review. And not just that, if you could share your thoughts with me on my Instagram, just find me at Carla Stefan. And also, if you're interested in outsourcing some things in your business to someone who has a track record of making things work, feel free to visit our website, proximityoutsourcing.com. If you have a referral, you can also send the referral to me, text me on Instagram, and we'll take care of you. Send one email, make $1,000. That's our promise. We take care of everyone. We take care of our name, and we promise we'll make you look like a rock star. So that's it. Thank you so much. I hope that you guys loved this episode as much as I loved sharing a piece of my life with you. I thought that this was very, very personal. And so I hope that you honor it. And I hope that you can also use these learnings to move yourself forward in life. Remember, you're not a failure. You have failures. Those are two very, very different things. Thank you so much. This is Carla Singson for another episode of None of Your Business. Have a good day and keep going.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.